Today's show is brought to you by KickUp. KickUp helps leaders ask the right questions to get actionable data, visualize information to guide effective next steps, and track teacher growth over time. Learn more at kickup.co.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
On today's show, we have Lily Sanabria. She's been in education for a while, but the reason I brought her on, she has a fantastic new podcast called Master Leadership that really digs into leadership and education, just like this one, Better Leaders, Better Schools. You're going to learn about how Superstorm Cuomo impacted her life, the story of starting her podcast, Master Leadership, the power of asking great questions, and how to invest in yourself. Thanks again so much for listening. Never take you for granted. Enjoy the show. Well, hey, Better Leaders, I am excited to bring to you today a new friend of mine, also a fellow podcaster. We'll get into that, and I want you to check out her show. But today's guest is Lily Sanabria, and Lily has been in education for over 25 years. She's taught students ages 0 to adult and has been a student of leadership for over 16 years. She has served as a CEO of an early intervention agency, a director of a charter school, and a program director for a pre-K school. She currently teaches and supervises student teachers at Hofstra University, where she completed her advanced certification in educational leadership. Lily is a certified John Maxwell Team Leadership Coach, teacher, and speaker. She is the creator and host of Master Leadership, a podcast that takes listeners on a journey towards greater significance. Lily, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Hi, Daniel. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Absolutely. So excited to have you. So, Lily, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Okay, that's a funny story because I was the kind of kid who never played with dolls as far as, you know, being a teacher. I never aspired to be a teacher. I, one time after receiving my bachelor's degree in communication, TV, and film production, I got a job in an insurance company in the city, in Manhattan. And it was summertime, and I was looking out the window, and I thought, oh my goodness, I need a job where I can get the summer off, and I can get out early. And I thought, teaching.
There you go. That's it. The magic ticket.
Well, you know, what was funny is at that time, they were giving out certifications to anyone with a bachelor's. And so I happened to have one and I threw my hat in and I became a teacher. And thank goodness, I loved it. I fell in love with teaching. And that was the beginning. But as far as, you know, my inspiration, it was really I got the summers off.
Yeah. So not the most noble of reasons. So let's redeem the story. And I like the idea of you falling in love with education. So stay there. Tell us about, you know, what were the aspects of education that had you fall in love?
Influencing the students, being able to lead them in a way that can really change the trajectory of their lives. Having that kind of responsibility really inspired me to go back into, you know, go back to learn how to be and how to master teaching.
Yeah, I love that aspect of it too. You know, and for me, there's really, I can't think of another job where you just get that instant gratification that you've done something important. You know, with this at 45-minute block or a block schedule, hour and a half, whatever it is, you see that you made a difference in a kiddo's life,
right?
And that was almost addicting to me. That's how I fell in love with it too.
Yeah, my first class was second graders, and amazing. I had 29 second graders. I knew nothing about teaching, and what I did is during my prep time and lunch, I would find the best second grade teacher and I would sit in the back and watch her. And I swear, Daniel, I would mimic everything she did and it worked.
That is so good.
She was my first mentor.
Fantastic. Hey, and we're gonna talk about your podcast, Master Leadership, mm-hmm. but before we get there, how would you describe your leadership style and how did you develop it?
My leadership style is servant leadership. And I developed it because it's the style that prompts me to follow. When I think of someone I would follow, it would be someone who really connects with the people, someone who really wants to serve them, to empower them, to lift them up. And so that inspires me to follow someone like that. And so that's the style that I embrace most.
Yeah, servant leadership, that's where it's at. That's mm-hmm. definitely the style that I try to use too, a relational bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are serving, you know, that you will be able to have influence because people know that, you're real, you're authentic. It's not about power.
But, right, right.
You know, it's about those relationships and doing what's right for kids.
Right. And we've experienced too much of the opposite of top down.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, I mean, I'm not inspired by that. I'm not motivated to work for someone like that. I'm not motivated to perform or, you know, for someone like that. And so, you know, that's certainly something that I didn't want to be. I knew what I didn't want to be. But when I saw someone who was serving others, that, you know, you go the extra mile for that person.
Exactly. That's yeah. the thing, you know, leading with power, dominance, that type of stuff, it'll lead to short-term change. But anything that's lasting, anything that's going to be meaningful, it has to be done through a relational servant leadership style, for sure.
Right, right.
Lily, what would you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
Okay, so I used to have an early intervention agency, and I ran that for about 14 years. And I would say my worst leadership mistake was putting all my eggs in one basket. At that time, I had a contract with the municipality. So an early intervention agency is basically contract service providers to provide services for babies from birth to three who either had disabilities or developmental delays. And so I contracted with the municipality, and because it's a federally funded program, a state funded program, I thought that I would run, you know, it would be here forever. However, things started changing. We had Superstorm Sandy. And then right on the heels of that, I had what I call Superstorm Cuomo, where the governor of New York, and I'm talking right in the middle of Superstorm Sandy, we were displaced, and there was a webinar about how regulations were changing and how the way we processed payments were changing, and it completely shifted everything, so much so that it was actually costing me money to keep the agency running. And so within a matter of months, I saw what was happening, and I had to shut down, and I cried, and it was probably one of the hardest things in my life. But I shut down in August, on my birthday, August 19, 2013. But I learned not to put all my eggs in one basket.
Wow, what a story with Superstorm Cuomo too.
Well, I usually say something else, but I won't.
Not on the podcast. Appreciate you biting your tongue on that one.
Right.
Hey, so speaking of a podcast and master leadership, tell me the story, okay? Where can people find it? But what's the story behind creating Master Leadership?
Well, after I closed my agency, I had to find a job. And so I had my educational certification, my administration certification. And so I started to look for an admin position, a leadership position in education. And I had done a lot of work on leadership because I believe that if you don't, you can hurt a lot of people. In other words, if you don't develop yourself as a leader and you don't deal with your stuff, with your issues, you can hurt a lot of people. And so I did a lot of work on myself, knowing that, understanding that. And so then I started working as an ed leader. And what I saw and what I experienced was quite, what's the word I'm looking for? Intense. Quite, I felt like leadership and education needed help. I felt like it was very dysfunctional, at least where I worked was quite dysfunctional. And I knew that affected the children. And so I did that for about a year, and then I was laid off, and I had some time to think. And before I even decided on whether or not I should look for another job, I started to really continue to develop myself. And I started, you know, John Maxwell. I became a certified John Maxwell speaker, trainer, coach. And during that time, I started thinking about how best to influence people, how I can add value to people. And so I started really searching for other jobs. And then I started thinking, wait, I'm not sure if that's where I can best influence others. And so I started to really think about it and meditate and pray. And the idea of a podcast jumped out. And I can actually check off everything, all the boxes for my purpose in life. And one of them is to continue to have a voice. The other one is to add value to people. The other one is to grow my influence and grow the influence of others. And also to shift leadership and education. And that's a hard thing to do, but it can happen. It can happen with your podcast, with my podcast, us getting together and doing things like this to basically help influence how others lead.
That's great. What have you learned maybe about leadership or about yourself through recording, you know, your show?
Well, you know, one of the great things is that I get to ask questions and I get to learn and influenced by so many amazing leaders. So when I ask these questions, I get a wealth of experience and so much advice. And I can't think of any other situation where that has happened. Because even when I was working as an administrator, it was very, very difficult, especially here in Long Island, in New York, it was very difficult to get an appointment with the superintendent or the principal. And here, I get to speak to superintendents. I get to speak to administrators from, you know, all different levels. And they're very giving. They're very generous with their time and they're very generous with their knowledge. And so I'm learning so much.
I had the same experience, right? I get to talk to these amazing people, ask questions and learn. And I really believe I'm happy that listeners mm-hmm. are connecting to the show, that it's getting more and more downloads every single month. But to be honest, I mean, I would create this show just for myself because I learn so much.
Yes.
And it helps me become a better leader. I want to know, is there anything we can add to the listeners' experience right now in terms of connecting with great people to get them in their network so that they can learn from them?
I think listening to our podcast, and I think, you know, part of what you do and part of what I do is I also have information from the guests on the podcast where they can connect to the listeners. So if there's a listener who enjoys a particular guest or what that guest said resonates with them, then they're able to connect with them on some level. So also, you know, a lot of my guests recommend books that have helped them. And I have that on my website. And I think reading is key to growth, especially as a leader.
Yeah, it kills me when I hear that somebody's not a reader. I really have to work hard to not judge them and then say, okay, maybe they learn through audio, which is good. That's mm-hmm, a podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're a video person. Maybe it's more a kinesthetic thing. They need to just like actually physically do it to learn. So,
right.
But the important part there is, right, to continue learning. And I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I think that's why we do the show notes, why we have a website. And maybe that's just a great reminder for the listeners. So, you know, mm-hmm. click on the podcast art, go to the webpage. And if you do connect with my guests or one of Lily's guests, you really like them. A lot of times we'll ask, what's the best way to get a hold of you? And a lot of these people, believe it or not, as big as some of them might be, are actually very approachable.
Yes.
So reach out via social media or if they give you the emails. Heck, some even give their phone number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a guy, Guy Kawasaki. And he's huge in social media. He's been what he's called an evangelist for Apple for many, many years.
Right.
And now he's an evangelist for something called Canva, which helps people make great images and use words and that sort of thing. Can you believe he gives out his phone number on every email? And at the Social Media Marketing World Conference where I met him, he put it up on the presentation. He said, here's my phone number. And his real cell phone.
His cell phone.
Yeah. So
that's great.
And the thing was, is here's what happens. People think, oh, there's so many weirdos out there and they're going to track me down and hurt me, stalk me, do all this. And it's possible, right? But that's mm-hmm. such a pessimistic view. And his view is I want to be available if I can be of service, if I can add value, if I can help out, contact me. And he said, believe it or not, nobody calls. And so my buddy's like, I'm calling him tonight. Wow. I'm calling him tonight. He picked up. And, you know, Jamie was then on the phone with this like massive guy with like millions of followers on Twitter. And not that that matters, but, you know, he has big influence.
Right.
And Jamie just thanked him. He said, listen, your presentation was awesome today, you know, and it got to share some stuff real quick. And it was just a cool connection. But, you know, just to be that type of that approachable, I think is interesting and important for leaders to definitely think about.
And that's an example of a servant leader. He's just available. He's available to serve you. I think that's amazing. I think I'm going to give him a call.
Yeah, look him up. You know, email him and you'll definitely get his phone number. So hold on. While we're talking, I'm going to pull up my iPhone real quick. I want to see if I can't remember if I put his name. Oh, I didn't put his name in my so I'm not too creepy. But I'm pretty sure I took a picture, so I got to try to find that one.
So there you go. You're one of the ones who did not call him.
I'm one of the ones. But Jamie did right next to me. So I was like, okay. You know, I live vicariously through him.
Cool.
Hey, so knowing what you know now, what would you tell a novice principal about leading a school?
Oh, gosh. I think invest in yourself. Develop your emotional intelligence, your emotional competence. And this is something a lot of times we don't talk about. And really, who's going to admit I'm not emotionally intelligent? You know, so it's a hard thing to address, but it certainly impacts how you lead. So I would say that. I would say for sure get a coach. Because that person can help you see things that you may not see. You're going to encounter situations that you may not know how to deal with. And possibly asking someone in the school, that's great. But that may not be the best way, the best approach. It depends on the situation. Sometimes finding a coach who's on the outside, you know, can help you deal with situations that come up.
That's a good tip, you know, and if this is their first episode, they might not know. If they've listened for a number of episodes, they know that I run masterminds for school principals and do group coaching. So would love to definitely work with as many listeners as possible.
That's
Lily,
great.
You know, you do the John Maxwell training. So
yes.
Do you coach one-on-one then yourself?
Yes, I do. And I do masterminds as well. So and that's a wonderful way to grow, to connect. And, you know, and I'm still learning. There's a lot of things that I continue to learn, and I will always be a learner. But coaching has shifted me, because as an educator, we're so indoctrinated to teach, right, to train. So I had to make that shift to coaching, where I ask more questions to pull things out of people, to pull knowledge, to pull aha moments. And I get that too doing the podcast, which is wonderful.
Yeah, where can people learn more about your coaching services?
They can go on the website, masterleadership.org, and they can contact me through there.
All right, we'll definitely have that linked up in the show notes for everybody. So
great.
Yeah, definitely want you to check out Lily's podcast, website, coaching services, if that's something you want to consider.
Yeah, and there's a way to get a free coaching session too.
Boom. How do we do that?
Well, get on the podcast and then leave a review in iTunes. All the instructions are on the website.
Okay, but it's a pretty easy process, it sounds like.
It's a pretty easy process.
Very cool. All right, so let's pivot from, you know, we love talking about your podcast and your services and those things, how you help develop leaders. I'm also curious if there was one class, just one class we could add to all our schools across the nation that's not currently taught that you know of, what would that class be, Lily?
Leadership. Leadership, for sure. I think, you know, John Maxwell says leadership is about influence, nothing more, nothing less. And the hardest person to lead, the most challenging person to lead, is yourself. So having classes on leadership, developing yourself, would impact the way students look at others, the way they look at themselves. It will help develop them and help raise that emotional intelligence at a much younger age.
You know, I'm glad you brought up emotional intelligence again, because I forgot to ask a question. My mind goes everywhere during the podcast, and I think of all these questions I want to ask, and sometimes I lose some, and I'm like, what was that question I lost? But you talked earlier about developing emotional intelligence, how it's scary for leaders to say, I need to develop this. You know, it's kind of a weak area, or it's just, it's okay, you know, to continue developing and make it something better. So I think I'm a relatively self-aware guy. I think I do have emotional intelligence, but how do you coach people? You know, what tips do you have for leaders that want to focus on that in this year and make it a strength of theirs?
I think one of the biggest things that we can do is to get a coach or a mentor, someone who's on our side, someone you trust, who can lift you up, who can tell you about yourself. We all have blind spots, right? We can see the blind spots in others, but we can't see it in ourselves. And so we need to be open to input from other people. And that helps us to continue to be self-aware. You know, Daniel, I learned a big lesson. And one of the biggest things I learned was that trust is a choice. And for a long, long time, I had this wall. I built this wall around myself, and I didn't trust people. And that had serious consequences. And there was a point in my life where I felt so stuck, and I did not know how to move forward. You know, that feeling of being stuck. And so I started to open up. I was more afraid of continuing to be stuck than to actually trust. And so I got to that point. And so I learned from someone else who shared trust with me, who actually chose to trust me, someone, a stranger, chose to trust me. And that shifted my world completely, because she didn't know me and she just gave me trust. And it taught me that trust is a choice. And so once I got that, it opened up a whole different world to me. And even it helped me to even take risks. And so I began to take more risks. And even with the podcast I started, it was a risk. And even doing this is my very first podcast.
On the other end of the mic.
And I did that intentionally. Once when you asked me, it scared the tar out of me. But I felt like I need to know what my guests feel like. And so
it feels great.
I took a risk, and I trust you, and here we go.
You know, I've experienced that too. I've been on a number of guests now at this point, but I really enjoy it. You know,
it's fun.
You don't necessarily know what's coming. It depends on the show and the format, you know, the person interviewing. But here's the thing, just be yourself, right?
Yeah.
And people are going to be attracted to that. Maybe some aren't, and that's okay.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Good. Well, I'm having a blast. I'm glad you're here with me, Lily. Thank you so much for being a guest. Hey, how do you avoid distractions and stay focused?
Okay, so, you know, I get up pretty early and I meditate and pray, and I pray to stay focused on what I need to do that day. So, you know, as far as staying focused with my tasks during the day, I use this app. I don't know if you've used it before. Asana, A-S-A-N-A.
For meditation?
No. It's to keep track of my projects.
Project management.
Because, oh my goodness, I have so many, right? So I can have a to-do list that's like a mile long, or I can use Asana. And so Asana just kind of divides everything into projects, and it's working for me. It really helps me tremendously.
Is that free? Is it paid for?
It's free. It's free. And it's amazing. One of the issues I'm having is that when I'm doing something, I'm so involved and I'm so focused that I can stay there for hours. And that's not good. That's not good. So I'm actually trying this Pomodoro, I think it's called. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, Pomodoro technique. Is that the 7 minutes or 30 minutes or something?
Right. So it kind of triggers you, and, you know, to kind of take a break. And so I'm going to start using that because for me, I can stay focused, but sometimes it just grabs all my attention. And that's not good because I can do something for hours and hours. So I'm using that to kind of help for me to take breaks and disconnect from some things because I tend to be really intense.
So sometimes you need to chill for a minute.
Yes, so I need to chill.
And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. Hey, what do you like to do to chill? What helps you really relax?
Oh, I love, you know, my husband calls me a pyro. I love the fire pit. Of course, not in the summertime, but
sure.
But we have a fire pit outside, and I can stay there and just chill out, drink wine, have wonderful conversations with my friends. That's one of the things I do. I love to read and spend time with my family.
Oh, those are great, great ways to wind down and relax for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Lily, how do you want to be remembered as a leader?
I want to be remembered as someone who deeply values others.
How do you show that?
By listening. I think one of the ways we can value others is listening, observing, watching what they like, watching, listening to what helps them, what they need, and serving them.
What's one book every principal should read right now and why?
Well, you know, one of the books that to me is a flagship book. It's called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And I've read it several times, and it certainly helps in every aspect of leadership. It helps with your servant leadership. It helps you to grow in your influence. It helps you to, and what one of my weakest areas was process, and it helps me to embrace process and to learn what that is. In different organizations, there's the law of addition, where you grow your influence, the law of solid ground, which talks about, you know, trust. So I think that's a book that every leader should have on their shelf and refer to it.
It's good stuff. We'll have that linked up for the listeners in the show notes for a while. It's, in addition to Asana, too.
Yes.
Very good. The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Haven't read that one yet. My friend just sent me Leaders Listen or something like that by Maxwell, too.
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking forward to digging into that one.
Oh, great, great.
Lily, I want to defeat everybody I ever meet in rock, paper, scissors. So if we met in person and you have to be honest, what would you throw first?
My instinct says rock, but I want paper. I would do paper.
Okay, you throw paper. Good. I'm putting that in the data files, and when we meet, I'm going to beat you.
That's not fair.
It's part of the plan. Sorry.
Okay.
It's my show. You could ask when you have me on yours, you could ask what you want.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. These are some crazy questions. This is just would you rather, okay? So either or, no right. Well, there are right answers. What I think is right, that's totally subjective, but, you know.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. You'll see. Would you rather only use Windows or only use a Mac?
Mac.
Would you rather have a secret headquarters underwater or on the side of a cliff?
Side of a cliff.
See, it's so stupid, but I like doing this with everybody.
No, I like
Would you rather eat a quarter or eat a whole entire chapstick? Like the whole thing, the chapstick and the receptacle.
Oh, nasty.
I know.
A quarter.
All right. Would you rather work at the FBI or at the CIA?
CIA.
And would you rather fight 100 third graders one at a time or fight 50 third graders at the same time?
100 third graders one at a
time.
That's
right. You just take them out. You feel bad doing it, but you can do it. The 50, they might rush you and something crazy might happen.
I know.
Yeah. One at a time, I'm confident I could take every one of those suckers out.
Yes.
Good choice. You're right. You answered all those correctly, by the way.
I did. I was right. Yeah.
You win. You win the prize.
I win. What do I win?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
If you could put a message on all school marquees across the nation for a day, what would it say?
You know, I think of a quote. I think of a quote by Gandhi, and it's, "Be the change you wish to see in the world."
That's good.
I love that quote.
Be the change you wish to see in the world. Love it.
Yes.
So, Lily, listen, you've made it. This is the hardest question. You know, we leave that one for last, but you've been a phenomenal guest.
Oh.
And the question, you know, I actually had retired this question. I was actually sick of asking it, but to my surprise, listeners wrote in and they said, put that question back. We want to hear the answers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the question is, you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any type of budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. So how would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities building the school?
How would I build my dream school? Oh, gosh. Okay. Does it have to have walls?
You're building it. You could do whatever you want, and there's no limitations in budgets or resources. So walls are optional.
Okay, so I'm thinking of being in New York City. I'm in New York City. I think the whole city would be a classroom. And so I would actually collaborate with a bunch of businesses and figure out a way, have the best minds together, because, I mean, you know, one of us isn't as good as all of us, right? So have a whole slew of the best minds and think of how we could use the whole city as our classroom and collaborate with a bunch of businesses and organizations and figure out how to educate these students in a way that's never been done before, but they get access to the best minds, the best resources right here in the city. I don't know if that answered that question. I mean,
I think it does. I mean, it paints a beautiful picture of just,
it's not a structure. Right. It's just it's an idea of no walls. It's, you know, this city is my classroom.
Definitely. And there's so many rich cultural experiences to be had out there in the city. I think that'd be a fantastic way of exploring the openness of
internships, museums. Oh, my goodness.
Be great. That'd be fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
Well,
wow, I didn't expect that question.
Hey, surprise. Lily, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Daniel, thank you so much. The listeners can get a hold of me through my email, lily@masterleadership360.com. And I would love for you to be on my show.
Definitely. We'll set that up. That'd be an honor.
That'd be great. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Absolutely.
This has been a wonderful experience.
Good, good, good. And Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Lily. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Lily in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Lily, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.